Thank you, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, January 25th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The MDCT says President Robert Mugabe should call a special cabinet meeting to tackle the hunger situation threatening millions of people.
We would want him to immediately set up mechanisms and systems that will address the impending severe drought that we are facing as a nation.
Government appeals to Zimbabweans to conserve water as drought grips the country.
The onus is now upon us to ensure that the limited water we have is conserved and made to last until the next rainy season.
And Zimbabweans express dismay over the poor performance of the Warriors in the African Championships.
Pasua is good at the club level, but not at the national team. We need to improve. Maybe we can find someone who can do better outside the country.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
The MDCT has urged President Robert Mugabe to call a special cabinet meeting this week to tackle the hunger situation that is threatening millions of people and livestock. Mr. Mugabe returned home from his month-long vacation on Friday amid criticism that he was wasting Zimbabwe's meager resources in the face of a crippling economic disaster. MDCT spokesman Obet Gutu says government should address the hunger situation as a matter of urgency to avert loss of life.
We would want him to immediately set up mechanisms and systems that will address the impending severe drought that we are facing as a nation. You know that already rains have been very erratic. We have had a very bad rainy season, the effects of El Nino, and obviously coupled with mismanagement and poor planning by the ZANU-PF regime, has led to a situation where, as I am talking to you right now, Ntungamili, at least 1 million Zimbabweans are in need of urgent food relief, but the government is totally broke. We heard in the news last week that they had borrowed $200 million from some foreign bank. But knowing this government, we will only be happy when we start seeing the maize arriving in the country. We can never trust them by their public disclosure that they have accessed the loan. We believe it is just a gimmick. It is just propaganda. What we want to see is Mugabe leading his government. Firstly, by declaring a state of emergency, because already we have facing a devastating drought. Cabinet has not sat since December 22nd or 21st last year, and we expect President Mugabe to immediately convene his cabinet and set to work to avert the impending drought. That is what he has to do as a matter of urgency.
How about on the economic front?
We do not see much change for the better happening in 2016. Already we are talking of a country that is in a serious deflation mode. We are talking of a country that is at 90% of its people living on less than US$1 a day.
That was MDCT spokesman Obet Gutu on the line from Harare. But ZANU-PF official Paul Munyaradzi Mangwana dismissed the MDCT's call, saying the opposition cannot tell the ruling party what to do.
Meanwhile, the warring in ZANU-PF between the so-called G40 and the faction allegedly led by Deputy President Emmerson Mnangagwa is escalating, with War Veterans Minister Chris Mutswangwa, a Mnangagwa ally, telling the Newsday newspaper that the two factions are now fighting over First Lady Grace Mugabe. And now that Mugabe is back, Ntungamili Nkomo of Studio 7 asked political analyst Blessing Vava whether the president can step in and end the infighting.
We know that ZANU-PF has been involved in factional fights. At any point in the dynasty of ZANU-PF, there are factions. But from this one, it's all good because that there is a succession issue that is happening in ZANU-PF. President Mugabe is old now, he's 1992. And equally, he has been in power for quite a long time. He himself has failed to outline or to properly do a succession plan with the party of ZANU-PF. I don't see him managing this faction. If he tries to do so, you should know that when they fired the great majority, it has weakened the ZANU-PF. But now that the election that is going to happen in 2018, they will try to sanitize, they will try to end in unison. And you know that when ZANU-PF is in election, all this thing about factionalism, it ceases to happen.
How then do you see this war ending?
When ZANU-PF is faced with an election, now there's an election in 2018. I know for a fact that this issue of this fight that we are currently seeing, probably they will disappear. I'm saying probably because there are some also who are saying that the president is now too old. But at the same time, no one is prepared to fight President Mugabe.
That was political analyst Blessing Vava on the line with reporter Ntungameli Nkomo from Harare.
Some illegal vendors are back on the streets of Harare a few months after they were forcibly removed by the government last year. They are now vowing to stay put, saying this is their only source of livelihood. Our correspondent Patricia Modadigwa has more details from Harare.
Most cities and towns in Zimbabwe removed illegal vendors from streets in July last year, following an order by local government minister Xavier Kasukwere, who threatened to fire local authority officials that did not heed his directive. Kasukwere said the illegal vendors had turned most urban centers into an eyesore, as they were selling different wares haphazardly and carpeting streets with litter. The local authorities descended on the vendors with an iron fist as they confiscated their wares and forced them to desert undesignated selling bays. But this has not deterred them from going to where they were forcibly evicted by municipal security officials and the Zimbabwe Republic Police. Some of the dejected illegal vendors say they have decided to come back and sell their wares in the city center as they cannot make ends meet in designated council vending sites, which are far away from good vending points. Studio 7 caught up with some of them in the Harare Central Business District, where it had become a no-go area for such merchants. One of them is Tafadzwa Tirivavi, a vendor who sells his wares along First Street. He said he will not abandon his business, even if the local authority and the police confiscate his wares.
We are not going to be moving out of the streets until we've been allocated a proper vending site. Because currently, if you look at the vending sites that country is saying is available to us, they are very far away from the market, and also they are not enough to accommodate all the vendors. So even if they resort to confiscating our wares, we'll still be coming back onto the streets because there's nowhere else that we can go to sell our product.
Samuel Wadzanai, director of the Vendors Initiative for Social and Economic Transformation, said illegal vendors will stay put as long as the Harare City Council does not provide adequate vending sites.
We have just reappeared in the streets despite the force they tried to use us from the streets. So the issue is not about just removing us, it's about providing alternatives, clear alternatives. So until and unless there are alternatives, vendors will continue to come back to the streets because they want to look after their families under these very difficult economic conditions.
Wadzanai said the collapsing structures that had been put at the designated places are a sign that some resources were allegedly looted by some council officials.
The clear waste of resources, now the government is struggling even to pay civil servants, because that's abusing these resources for their own personal benefit. The reason why we have got this shaky, you know, such as somebody is looting from that arrangement.
Promise Mukwananzi, director of Zimbabwe Informal Sector Organization, concurred, adding that the designated new vending sites were not suitable for business.
It's unfortunate where we have a total waste of the minimum resources that we have to build structures in areas that are not strategic for the markets of the vendors.
Mokwanans warned council that without consultations, they will not win the war against the vendors.
It shows that the chasing away of vendors is not going to work. What needs to happen is a proper dialogue, to sit down and with dialogue and come up, identify strategic areas where we can put the vending sites and ensure that the vendors are moved to vending sites that are located within the areas where their business thrives.
Meanwhile, the 16 vendors that were arrested last year during skirmishes with local authority, municipal security officials and the Zimbabwe Republic Police when they resisted being pushed out of the Central Business District are currently facing trial. They are facing charges of resisting a lawful order, among other issues. Wadzanai said the case has been postponed several times. The trial continues on January 28. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
Teacher unions and the general public are up in arms with the government over a proposal by Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa to slash teachers' salaries if they don't achieve a pass rate of more than 50% at their schools. Chinamasa made the proposal when he announced his national budget last year. The ministry has proposed that teachers at schools that don't achieve a 50% pass rate should forego their April, August and December salaries. The move is set to slash the civil service wage bill, as teachers will next year be expected to earn according to the results they produce throughout the year. Statistics from the Ministry of Education show that most schools in Matabeleland region do not record pass rates of more than 50%. In fact, at some schools, it's 0%. Former Education Minister David Coltart told Studio 7 the proposal is not fair, especially for schools where there are no books and other education infrastructure.
I'm very concerned about this news. I think it's going to undermine education and the teaching profession in Zimbabwe. And I think it's very discriminatory against rural teachers in particular. It's unjust. And even in the strongest rural schools, there is a disparity between pass rates between rural schools and urban-based schools.
But don't you see this incentivizing the teachers to work more?
I'm a person who believes in incentives, but this isn't an incentive. It's a disincentive because it paints everyone with the same brush. As I say, if you happen to be a hard-working teacher, but you're unlucky to be in a rural school or in a school with lazy teachers, you are now going to be penalized. So there's no incentive for that hardworking teacher to perform. I think that the thinking is completely misconstrued.
But do you see any other way instead of lumping the whole teachers at a school?
Well, you see, this is a heartbreak policy. It's a policy that is born of desperation. Government is desperate to cut money wherever they can. They promise bonuses which they can't pay. They don't want to cut back on the defence and the military, so they're going for the weakest sector.
That was former Education Minister David Coltart. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Harare. Meanwhile, teacher unions also slammed the proposal, saying it would lead to more drained brain. Vusumuzi Matlangu of the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe told Studio 7 the proposal is going to meet strong resistance from teachers.
Yeah, it is a very unfortunate decision that could come from the employer, because we all know as educationists that there are so many factors that contribute to someone's performance. For instance, there's the issue of textbooks, the resources, the learning environment, and the capabilities of the child. So to pinpoint the teacher that the teacher is totally responsible for the failure of the school children, it's really unfair, because so many factors have to be considered. And besides, if you are to set that precedent, let's start from those people who didn't give us bonuses. It's clear to me that these people have failed to perform their mandate as minister. So the cutting of salaries should start at the top, going downwards. Because if you look again, you'll find that when this economy was inherited from the previous rulers, it had reserves that could make this economy run for 6 months without any trading happening or to run. And these people have ruined this economy. So what are you saying about these people? They should also have their salaries cut.
But is there a way of identifying teachers who are not performing well?
Yes, we are not disputing that maybe there are some teachers who might be failing to perform up to standard. But for us to blame the teacher totally, it would be unfair because, as I've said, so many teachers are involved.
That was Vusumuzi Matlangu, the Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe's representative for Bulawayo. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Bulawayo. Coming up,
the Cancer Association of Zimbabwe says local people should go for early cancer screening.
And is Warriors coach Kalisto Pasua the right man for the job?
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Multiple suicide bombers attacked a town in far northern Cameroon today, killing at least 25 people and wounding others.
Members of Libya's internationally recognized parliament have rejected a UN-sponsored unity government, an agreement with rival authorities aimed at ending chaos that has engulfed the country since the overthrow of longtime leader Muammar Gaddafi in 2011.
And a report commissioned by the World Health Organization calls for governments, educators, and the food industry to combat childhood obesity. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
The Cancer Association of Zimbabwe says local people should go for early cancer screening annually to avoid complications should they have the disease. Junior Mavu of the Cancer Association of Zimbabwe says cancer screenings are being offered by her association and some government clinics, including hospitals and other non-profit organizations, to ensure that people get early treatment. Mavu says the organization will join hands with the health ministry to commemorate World Cancer Day on February 4th next month. Running under the theme, Not Beyond Us, the United Nations says cancer is a leading cause of death worldwide, accounting to 8.2 million deaths in 2012. We spoke to Mavu on the programs that they have in tackling cancer in the country.
World Cancer Day preparations are going on well. This year, the Cancer Association and many other stakeholders have come together with the Ministry of Health and Child Care. The celebrations will be done in Mutare. Preparations are underway for this day to be commemorated in Mutare. So all these stakeholders will also be participating on that same day.
When you look at the different cancers that are affecting people in Zimbabwe, which ones would you say are the most common?
In females, cervical cancer is the most common cancer, followed by breast. In men, it's the prostate cancer that's leading.
What are you urging people to do should they suspect that they have some sort of cancer, or just to remain vigilant?
I think people shouldn't wait for them to have symptoms so that they can be checked. I think we should make it a habit that every year people are screened for just a general body physical examination. This is where some of these issues are picked up. And also things like cervical cancer, prostate cancer, people can visit their nearest clinic and get themselves checked.
When you look at the statistics in the country regarding cancer, would you say there's been an increase or a decrease of cancer cases in the country?
There has been an increase, and the reasons for the increase could be, as a country, we are now reporting on all the cancer cases that are out there, and then the number suddenly goes up, or people are also suffering from cancer. Remember, cancer can also affect people whose immune system is compromised. So I can safely say these are some of the reasons why we have high figures of cancer.
When we look at the actual detection of cancer itself, where is it offered and is it for free or what are the charges like?
Most of it is free. If you look at the municipality clinics, they are offering most of these services for free. The public institutions are also offering these tests for free. A few private institutions are charging. For example, Cancer Association, we do have a fee for cervical cancer because we are a non-profit making organization. So if we charge, this is how we then replenish whatever we use in testing people.
Take us through the preparations, like when someone comes in for cervical cancer examination. A lot of women seem to have this stigma that it's very evasive. But how can you allay their fears?
I think this VIAC process, that program that's being offered, is a friendly procedure. It doesn't take time. You get your results there and there. If there's a problem, you're also treated during the same visit. So if people want to know more about it, they can still visit us and we can take them through the process before we even have the test done on them.
Where can they find you? Where are your offices?
Our offices are at number 60 Livingston Avenue in Harare, opposite the Zifa House. Our offices, our number is 707-444-707-444. That's our office number. And we are open from Monday to Friday, 8 to 4:30.
That was the head of the Cancer Association of Zimbabwe, Mrs. Junia Mavu, speaking with us from Harare.
Zimbabwe says it will soon introduce strict water conservation measures as the El Nino weather phenomenon is causing havoc in the country's water levels. Environment Minister Opam Chinguri Kashiri told journalists in Harare today this move has been necessitated by low water levels in national dams. Rains have been scarce in the country due to the El Nino weather system, which is affecting millions of people in sub-Saharan Africa and beyond. Muchinguri Kashiri said most local dams are less than 50% full, a situation which is raising alarm as they are usually full at this time of the year.
Our current dam levels are lower than expected when compared to the same period last year. And most of these dams do not have enough water to last us to the next season. This paints a very bleak picture, as some towns and cities will have to resort to strict water management strategies. As I speak, some of the dams in Zimbabwe are drying up. For example, in Manicaland, Osborne Dam used for irrigation stands at 33% full. Chesa and Mazowe dams in Mashonaland Central used for water supply and irrigation are 33% full and 31% full. Seke and Kotwa dams in Mashonaland East are 34% and 14% full. Chibero and Surisuri dams in Mashonaland West are 29% and 35% respectively. All in all, the country's dams are on average 51% full, at a time when we usually have dams spilling. These are the chilling effects of the climate change phenomenon, which has not only affected Zimbabwe, but the whole of SADC region.
Muchinguri Kashiri also said underground water is critical in some areas.
The groundwater levels, especially in cities such as Harare, are also under serious threat as the water table continues to dwindle because people have resorted to use of groundwater as an alternative to municipal water. Our livestock and wildlife are equally threatened as there will be shortages of drinking water. Crops have not also been spared and most farmers are now seeing their crop as complete write-offs. Our water sources are drying up in all the 7 catchment areas, namely Runde, Sawe, Manyame, Mazowe, Sanyati, Gwai, and Muzingwane, due to the low rainfall patterns over the past 5 years. there has been limited to no recharge in our wells and also boreholes. And as a result, our water table has gone even deeper. For instance, in Mashonaland West, there are 990 non-functional boreholes. Mashingo, 1,327. Midlands, 399. Matabeleland North, 1,175. Matabeleland South, 2,087. Mashonaland East, 2,074. Mashonaland Central, 2,699. And Manikaland, 1,640. These are the realities that we are faced with as a country, and the onus is now upon us to ensure that the limited water we have is conserved and made to last until the next rainy season.
That was Environment Minister Opam Chinguri Kashiri addressing journalists in Harare today.
And in sports news, Zimbabwean soccer fans are shaking their heads in disbelief after their beloved Warriors became the first team to crash out of the 2016 African Nations Championships. Coach Calisto Pasua has already apologized for the national squad's poor performance, blaming it partly on shoddy preparations for the tournament. Our reporter Michael Cariati gives us more details.
Excited Zimbabwe football fans pegged drinking places Saturday to watch their team play, only to be disappointed after the Warriors missed a glut of chances before crumbling to a 1-0 defeat to the Eagles of Mali. The defeat saw the Warriors in rock bottom position on the four-team table without a point after two games, with Mali on 4 points and Zambia having qualified on 6 points. The Warriors have no chance of qualifying for the quarterfinals, even if they win their last game against Uganda, as they will only end up on 3 points. However, there is no agreement on what really caused the Warriors' fall from grace, with all sorts of theories being drummed up. Some say the Warriors' preparations were shoddy. Others say Zimbabwe does not have quality players, while another school of thought is of the opinion that Calisto Pasua is not the right man to coach the Zimbabwe Warriors. Soccer fan Bevan Gonese feels the Warriors were not good enough for the tournament, adding that the Zimbabwean team was put in its rightful place.
Don't have quality players. It showed our players are not good. Our coaches need to examine some of the players to take young players from Division 1 also.
Football analyst Farai Kambamura said the Warriors' performance justifies the means, as the Zimbabweans did not prepare well enough for the tournament.
The performance of Warriors was shoddy, it was poor, and we can contribute that to poor organization. They say if you fail to prepare, you'll be preparing to fail.
The Zimbabwe Football Association did not organize even a single friendly match for the Warriors prior to the start of the tournament. A member of the Zimbabwe National Soccer Supporters Association, Witness Masocha, says it is wrong to point fingers at the coach and his players. He says Zifa badly let the team and the nation down. However, there are others who have extended the debate to Coach Pasua, whom they are questioning whether he's the right man to handle the Warriors or that he's overrated. According to the state-controlled Herald newspaper, Pasua said he would have done better than settling for the wooden spoon in Rwanda, where he featured mostly young players that is grooming for the senior squad. He partly blamed the loss to poor preparation for the tournament, as his squad did not have some warm-up friendly matches. But Gonese says the results of the African Nations Championships clearly expose Pasua's shortcomings at such a high level of football competition.
Pasua is good at the club level, but not at the national team. We need to improve. Maybe we can find someone who can do better outside the country.
The Warriors are now in danger of finishing the tournament without a single point, as there is no guarantee that they will overcome Uganda on Wednesday. Gonese says Judging by their performance in the two matches they've played so far, the Warriors are unlikely to beat the Cranes of Uganda.
We've not scored a goal. How do you expect us to beat Uganda?
The Warriors are now shifting their attention to the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers, in which they are joint top of their group along with Swaziland. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thanks, Michael. That's it for tonight. My name is Chris Gande. Good night.
And I'm Marvelous.